Say amen to what Brother Ward said earlier, and I definitely feel this house full of love and the Spirit of God this morning, and it really bolsters my faith and my belief in God, and hopefully takes away some of my nervousness of the flesh, and as I try to present this subject. And it's a great subject. We're going to talk about the book of Ruth this morning. And this book, as Brother David said in his prayer about the riches of God, this book is, in my mind, truly a jewel that is buried in the Bible for our benefit. And it shows us things. And I would encourage the young people in the congregation today to listen and think about this, because this is a subject that I've long cherished. Oh, thank you. I've long cherished this subject, and I've heard older brethren say how much they've loved it over the years. And it's a subject that I've personally heard preached on, I don't know how many times, maybe I know more than five, maybe upwards of 10 times. So it's a great subject to know. And I just want to try to cover, even though it's only four little chapters, it would be, you know, too much for me to try to cover everything about it. I heard Brother Larry Webb one time preach a four Sunday, like one preaching on every chapter. And so we're not going to try to do that today, but we're looking at some things in it that are powerful and true. And to start with, you know, it's a lot of preface, but this story deserves a lot of prefacing, because this story, it tells us when and where that it is. And it's set in the time of the judges, and in a little town called Bethlehem. And this book is it's a prophecy. It's a foretelling of what God is going to do many years and many generations before he does it. In it, we're going to see ourselves as the gospel church, because it's very much a story about bringing in of the Gentiles into the church of God, into the household of God. And we're going to see ourselves in the character of Ruth. And it's a wonderful thing to know. And we also, most prominently, we see our Lord in it. And we see the salvation in Jesus Christ and his strength. And also, I want to address today, one of the main things that I want to talk about is the legality that's in here, that's in this book. And it shows the beauty of the law is in this book, and at the same time, that its inability to do the most important thing. Yeah. And so, in the book, it says it came to pass that the judges ruled. There's a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, where also the city of David, and where our Lord was born. He had two sons, and he went to sojourn in the land of Moab, him and his wife. I'm going to kind of skip around. I'm not going to read this verbatim. And the name of the man was Elimelech. And Elimelech means God is my king. And I should say also this, I admit, but this is a story where the names have very important meanings. And they really reveal what the subject of the story and what's going in the story. And so Elimelech is God is king. His son, he had a wife named Naomi, and her name means pleasant. He had two sons. One is named Mahlon, and one is named Chilion. And Mahlon means weak, sick, and going away. Pining, and Chilion means pining, destruction, and consumption. So if anybody has any revelation about what those mean later, you can come and tell me. Those ones haven't quite figured out yet. And or the Lord has to reveal it. But anyway, they came into the country of Moab, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left of her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, And the other name, and the other's name was Ruth. And they dwell there about 10 years. And now Orpah means stiff-necked. And Ruth means a friend. And so a friend, Abraham was known as the friend of God. And also Christ has called us friends. And so that's a big key here is to who this woman represents. Now, she was a Gentile, and they went to the Gentile church. We have several races of people in here, and is there anybody in here by show of hands that's Jewish? So we're all Gentiles, right? We're all Gentiles, and thank God that we are. I mean, I know there's a lot of places where the Old Testament represents lessons for us and places where we're represented as the children of Israel, but we're Gentiles and we're brought into the family of God. And so this goes on. So the two sons die, and she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return to the country of Moab. And because she heard that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread, and she went out of her place where she was, and she asked here I'm going to skip again, that the daughter-in-laws go back to their land and to their gods. And I think this is key here, that they both claimed to their mother-in-law, said, no, we want to go with you. And she said, well, why would you do that? It's not going to, I'm too old to have more sons. Because in the law, when a brother died or a son died, then the next brother in line would marry. And this is key to the story, would marry in the play, they would marry the bride. And then, but she's like, I'm too old. Would you wait for them till they're grown? If I had more sons? No, you can't do that. And then so the one Orpah, she decides to go back and to her people and her gods. And then Naomi tries to talk Ruth into doing the same thing. She said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back and her people and to her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth, I mean, I think it's important to notice that Orpah, she loved Naomi. But I think it may have to do more with the God thing, if you will. And so Ruth, she has a speech, and I think it would be remiss to not read this speech if you're trying to talk about the book of Ruth. So I'm going to go ahead and read this, even though it's not really my subject. Ruth says to Naomi, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, he swears by God. And more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she was... Then when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left speaking to her. And so they went back to Bethlehem, and they came there, and people of Bethlehem said, is this Naomi? She said, don't call me Naomi. Don't call me pleasant. Call me Mara. Call me bitter, because the Lord hath dealt bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. And so it says they came at the time of the barley harvest. And the Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's. And this is important. The kinsman is the one that has the right to redeem the bride. They said, we have a near kinsman, a mighty, mighty man of wealth. And his name is Boaz. And Boaz means strength. Or he is strong. He is the mighty man of wealth. He is the one that has the power to redeem. And so in the law, there was a beautiful thing that the Lord had set up for the poor people, that when he had commanded that when you go to reap your fields, you go to gather all your fruit in, then you don't go get every last grape. You don't glean after it. So poor people, I mean, they had a house to go back to and land, but they wouldn't have anything to eat, no living. And so they uh, was Ruth asked, can I go? And I'm going to go. I'm going to go try to get us something to eat. And so she goes into the field, and she just happens to go to the field of Boaz. And Boaz, he asked the servants, and they said, she's been good. She's been doing good, basically. And Boaz says, Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have not I charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go to the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and asked, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath been fully shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come into a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou have come to trust. And so, you know, it shows her, he takes notice of her. He commands her to do certain things, and she shows humility in bowing herself to the ground to him. And again, I'm going to kind of go through some of this. And she, they treat her well, and he gives her food. And then she comes and tells Naomi, she asks, how did it go? How did it go? You can imagine if one of your kids going out to get a job, you know, how'd it go today? And she says, a man named Boaz took notice of me. And he says, and Naomi was like, this is great. He is a near kinsman to us. She said, stay with him, whatever you do, and don't let them find you in another field. Mm-hmm. And this goes on through the harvest, and so then Naomi, it comes to her heart to tell Ruth what to do. She says, I want you to go to him and basically go to the floor where he's gleaning after they're done working, and lay at his feet. And she's basically asking him to marry her. But it was all of God. And see if I can find the place that, yes. And he says, who art thou? And she answered and said, I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt upon thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, insomuch as thou hast followed not young men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, fear not, for I will do thee all that thou requirest. And all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And that virtuous woman is a key in the Bible. Like the rich, in the 31st chapter of Proverbs, is a whole poem about the virtuous woman who is wisdom. And also it is typical of the Church of Jesus Christ and true followers, more specifically, true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a virtue that they have, the wisdom that God has given them to follow Christ. And so he says here in a key way, he said, now it is true, I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform to thee the part of the kinsman well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the kinsman's part to thee, then I will do the part of the kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning. And she lay asleep until morning and went out before anybody could know one another. And so a woman, they didn't know a woman was in there. And I'm going to skip here again and talk about the fourth chapter, most specifically, and about the part of a person in this story that is unnamed, but it's very important. And I've always wondered what this nearer kinsman Boaz says, it's true, I am thy near kinsman, but there's a nearer kinsman, and it doesn't give his name. But I always wondered, what is that nearer kinsman? What does that typify? And I had kind of come to the conclusion that it must be something to do with the law. And but I asked the Lord when I was reading this as just part of my yearly reading this year, you know, to know, you know, and it's rarely happened with me that way where I usually it's like when you're reading and then something sparks a thought, you know, and then you think more, you know, you stop and you slow down and you meditate on that thought, you know. But I just said a little prayer, again, rare, right then and there. And then, but I feel like the Lord kind of very much revealed it. I feel a lot stronger about it now than I ever did, that this kinsman is a representative of the law. Okay, so in the fourth chapter, then went Boaz up to the gate. And again, I want to underline and bring out, hopefully, that this is a picture of the legality of the Christ purchase of his bride. He didn't come to destroy the law and just take it away. Now we know that we don't have access to God or eternal salvation through works of righteousness that we have done. We know that, and it does not, and our salvation does not come from the law. But this shows how that Christ did it legally. He was 100% on cue of the law. And so Boaz is going to go through a situation here that is what the law required in as far as redeeming. And then went Boaz up to the gate, and he sat down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by. Again, it didn't tell his name. And he said unto him, he said, "Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city. This is men that sat in the gate to judge. "Sit down, sit ye down here." And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, "Naomi has come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants of the land and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know. For there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee." And he said, "I will redeem it." So that always was hindered me from understanding this a little bit, because he did evidently was willing to redeem it. And so under the law, This person had power to redeem, except Boaz said, "What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance." And the kinsman said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it." And I'm still not sure about the marring of his own inheritance, but I would say that probably the closest thing that I think is that the law, it can redeem the land, but the law cannot redeem the Church of Christ, Jesus Christ, or the Gentiles, or anybody else. It can't redeem people. And so this one that had you got to come to the grips with it. There's only two ways ever set out to be righteous before God. There's only two things ever. You know, it's the righteousness of the law, the works that we have done, and the grace that is in Jesus Christ. That's it. And even our natural, our nature tends to think, well, you know, and I've heard people say things, "Well, I just hope I'm good enough. You know, I hope I've done enough good works," but that can't redeem. And so we have two things set before us: one that is able to redeem, one that has the power to redeem, and one that does redeem. And this is the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming. And all this is, Boaz did exactly what the law required in order to get this done, for it to be done with, because we were married to another. We were married to the flesh and to the law. So there's a right way that this could be done perfectly legally. And this is the way that he did it. And he came, the former time concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and he gave it to his neighbor. And this is a testimony in Israel. And the law, if a woman was to be redeemed and she came to the brother and he wouldn't do it, she pulled off his shoe and spit in his face. It doesn't say that they went, maybe he deserved it, but that's not the way that they, it doesn't say that they did that here. And Boaz said to the elders, to all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. And that's a whole nother subject, his place. The Lord gave everybody a place. We'll leave that. We're going on a little bit. And all the people that were in, ye are all witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate, and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make this woman, make the woman that has come into thine house like Rachel, like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel, and thou do thou worthily in Bethlehem, and Ephratah, and famous in Bethlehem. And I'm going to go ahead and skip the rest of this down to where it says Naomi became, they had a child, and Naomi became nurse into it, and the women talked about how blessed she was in her old age. Their daughter-in-law, which is better, and loveth thee more than seven sons, hath borne him. And then it tells the generations going up to Boaz, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. So this woman, if I'm right here, is a great grandmother of David. And there's one other thing I wanted to bring up about this before I close, is that of all the things in the law and the legality that we find here, there's one law that seems to be an exception. The Lord said, a Moabite shall never enter into the congregation of the Lord under the 10th generation. You can't do it. And yet this woman is the great grandmother of David. So the Lord, thank God, the Lord makes exceptions. And again, this is a little town. We find out the city of David, which becomes buried back in the days of the judges. We find this jewel that tells us it's a picture, it's a type, it's a shadow, it's a prophecy, it's a foretelling. It's all these things. And it's a thing of beauty that I have personally loved for many years. I never dreamed that I might have grace or opportunity to talk about it. But thank you for listening, and I appreciate it. I'm sorry, I went over a little more than we talked about.